It is the heart of God. Speak His mercy and forgiveness to your life. It is His invitation. It is His cross. It is His gift of forgiveness. It is His working of the Holy Spirit. And all that is poured out on your night, on your life, for all eternity. In His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The reference I have for you tonight comes, I took the bookmark out. That doesn't help. Ephesians chapter 6, if you look up there. There is a theme I want to work through in terms of the Lenten themes, and that's the power and the life-changing work of prayer. We're going to examine it in all of its different components. I was asking the confirmation kids, if someone put you on trial today and asked you the question, what evidence would you give today that you really are a believer in Jesus Christ, what would you tell them? And they had to think for a little while, and they began to come up with several things. But the purpose of it, of course, was to ask the question, what evidence do you really have? What did you do today differently because the power of the Holy Spirit was in your life, because you loved Jesus, because God was there? How have you responded to life circumstances and other things differently today than you would have if God wasn't there? And that becomes the challenge for any one of us, that question of the evidence. Is there really anything changed in your life or circumstance? In this section in chapter 6, we're in the armor of God. I'm going to really focus on a kind of verse 18, but I'm going to start with you back there on verse 16. I'll even go back to 14 if you're looking here. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there kind of the armor ends. And I want you to look at 18 especially with me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Always keep on praying for all the saints. I remember being told once, related to a section in Romans, talking about the body of sin that clings to us and the significance of repentance. And true story, this is what they would sometimes do with an individual. If you murdered somebody, the Roman government would sometimes strip you down and take the naked body of the dead person and tie it arm to arm, back to back, leg to leg, tightly against you in multiple places. So you would walk around with this decaying, rotting corpse on your body until it infected you and killed you. And it is such a picture of certainly gross. Nobody needs to hear that in the sense, but you do understand the body of the murdered person was rotting, decaying, disintegrating, and that decay and that putridness was moving itself into the living cells of your body or the body of the person that they were punishing with that particular method. And I heard that as an illustration for what sin is like in our life, unaccounted for, undealt with. It's the kind of thing that when you hold something against you, and whether it's be bitterness or unforgiveness or an anger that won't be dealt with or some other quality or characteristic that God has clearly identified as sin, it's like taking something rotted, putting it against you and tying it against your arm, your heart, your leg, or your body. And you can literally walk through your life wondering why you rot away Well, in one sense, you're moving and you feel alive, but there is this rot that continues to invade your body, disintegrate and destroy the living part of who you are, steal your joy, steal everything from you. And it's the fact that you haven't dealt with sin that is continuing to cling to you, that holds on to you, that infects your life. A time like Ash Wednesday is a time to deal with that body of death. It's a time to get honest enough with God to say, Lord, is there anything that lives on in me that's unrepentant, unwilling to forgive, unwilling to be dealt with, or unwilling to even be forgiven? Because sometimes you won't forgive, even though God has said, I put it behind you. You don't let it go, even against yourself. Sometimes you are creating the very corpse that is clinging to you, trying to disintegrate and destroy your existence. And the picture that is so gross communicates to you why this becomes so vital to God when he says, I want you to do away with the body of sin that you can be a new person, a new individual. And so you hear the song, Just As I Am, and you begin to understand. You've seen enough and heard enough testimonies that not everybody comes to the Lord in the same way, in the same kind of nice way, I guess we might say. My mom was a believer, my dad was a believer, and they brought me to the Lord and have been raised as a Christian. But some of them are filled with the pain and the agony of being abused and the agony of bitterness and hurt and anger and hatred and murder and strife. I once told you about the Angola prison down in Louisiana that is filled with, I think, 60% of the people are lifetimers and murderers and everything else like that. And it was one of the most deadly prisons in the world until one of the new persons that took over control of the prison said, if you let me do whatever I want, I'll straighten this prison out for you. And the first thing he did is put Bibles in every cell. He invited all the people, all the men, happened to be a man's prison, to start studying for the ministry. He brought in pastors and professors and teachers. He opened up a seminary right in the prison. And he said, you can go in that prison now and you don't have to have a knife in your hand to make it through. And people don't swear. And you talk to them. And the particular person I was listening to was saying, and you talk to them and you say, what's it like to be here? To know you're never getting out? And the one guy that he shared said that, he said, I'll tell you something. If it took this prison to get me to come to the end of myself and get me into the kingdom of heaven, I'll take this prison any day over anything else. He said, the ones you really need to pray for are my mom and my dad and the other members of my family because they aren't saved. You understand? Just like a prison, there are prisons that you live in that have no bars visible. You wear them on your face. You wear them in your countenance. You wear them in the person that you are that has those hidden streams of bitterness and reaction and volatileness, which is that word I told you I heard on the radio where it says people today are so volatile. They just overreact, and you go, what's wrong with people? What's happening? And the answer is this stuff clings to them and it piles up on them and it infects the very people that they are, and that is all they have left is this anger and this lashing out that just goes in any direction, sometimes totally unnecessary. Someone was just telling me before we came over here was, I think it was Ron, and where is he, Ron? Yeah, about this situation where somebody came 18 minutes late for work and they were teasing the girl, the woman, and she took a coffee pot and slammed it into the face of the person, cut her face all open and had stitches all over her face. And when they fired the girl who had come late and for throwing this in the girl's face, she went out into the parking lot, took a huge garbage can and slammed it against the girl's car who she had just cut up with her with throwing the pot of coffee. And I go, this volatileness over, you came late. You understand? You kind of go, what's happening? And the answer is, when sin is not dealt with, when the embarrassment, the guilt, and the shame is not dealt with, when you haven't heard that the love of God and the mercy of God is new to you every morning, when you haven't entered into the miracle of what you get to do tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit is come to the end of yourself and repent just as you are without one plea, that very thing, there is this pile up of all of these emotions and bitternesses and everything else, and people have nowhere to go with it. And part of the dilemma that we read about is this very nature of why. And the answer is someone has tied to their bodies the deadness of the things that they've done wicked and wrong. That thing is infecting every part of their life. So that some high school kid, so fed up with school that he thinks the solution is going in and killing 17 students? Do you understand? This is really very serious business. And so we look at this passage, verse 18, that I wanted to focus on a little bit with you tonight. It says, and you pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, praying in the Spirit means a continuous flow of your words in a communication with God. Wake up with it on your lips. Go to work with it. Take the time. What would you have for me to do today, Lord? Thank you for it. And you enter into it. When you're walking or you're driving or you're doing something, thank Him for the day. Thank Him for the morning. Thank you for the person that just waited on you. Thank you that your coffee is hot and the cream was cold and it's just the way you like it. Or even if it's not the way you like it, thank you for even the possibility of getting a cup of coffee this morning. Live in a continuous flow of communication with God. And his point then is he builds on this, okay? Praying the Spirit in every situation on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. They don't have to be fancy. If you remember Nehemiah, when he was sent back to go back and rebuild the wall, he popped this prayer up, Lord, help me, because he was going to talk to the king about getting permission to go back and rebuild the wall. It was just a little blurt. And I go, God can handle the blurts. He can handle the deep prayers. He can handle the cries. He can handle the weeping. He can handle anything. But he doesn't handle well when you don't talk to him. His challenge is not handling your prayers. His challenge is when you don't take the time to pray because the communication is breaking down. The intimacy between you and God is breaking down. And he's losing you to whatever it is you're filling your mind, your heart with. And in many cases, what you fill your mind and heart with is the bitterness, the death, the sickness, the disease of the day. You stick it to yourself and you allow it to cling to you and infest and invade the bulk of your life with all of its infection and problem. Then he goes on and says this, with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. You know, there are probably more reasons than I could probably come up with tonight why people switch churches, hate people in the church. He said, she said, I didn't like this, wasn't done the way I would have done it. I wanted to do that. They never asked me. It goes on and on and on. And then sometimes people end up finding a reason to leave from one church to another, and then we can go to that next one and say, and they treated me so badly from one spot to the other. We all have known that. We've been there. We've walked our own path of that. And the issue is not to scold us for that, but the issue is, can we be different? Can you look around for just a moment and see the kids in the congregation right now? Do you know what world they're growing up in? When was the last time you prayed for somebody's little ones? And you took your eyes off your own for just a moment. When was the last time you looked at a young couple and tried to remember back when you were that young? I can't remember that kind of far anymore. And you go, Lord, they have so much to learn. Help them to learn it easily and quickly. Help me to be available to you to talk to them if you want me to. You understand? When he says intercede for one another, it's meant to create communication links and purposes and understandings where you take the time. I was praying for your little one today. How is he? Is she okay? And all you did is you walked up from one member to another member and you said something special about their son or daughter, and that you with total sincerity can say, God, just move me to pray for them today. God bless you. I remember when mine were that young. You know, something. And I go, you understand, he's doing this because if we don't keep praying for all the saints, all the rest of the infection and sickness and problem of the wretch of our inconsistencies, our attitudes and behaviors, creep in. Where if instead I find myself praying for the very person that drives me nuts, you know, she's sitting right there in front of me, two rows. Every time I look up, there he is. That's the one. Look at the way those kids behave. Oh, my goodness. How come those parents let them do that? Right? Shut up. Sorry, that's French. But I go, pray for them. Dear God, bless their lives. Help them as they raise their kids to have wisdom. And help them to just be blessed and filled with understanding. And you understand? It changes who we are. It changes what we're about. We can repent all we want, but ultimately out of repentance has to come that change that follows, that action that's demonstrated in the way I respond, look at people, and talk to people. That change is the very thing that the whole event of, you know, Ash Wednesday is really all about. Now, I'm not putting ashes on you tonight. I'm going to put oil on you. And I'm going to put oil on your forehead. I'm going to put it on your hands to remind you that when you touch someone, I want the anointing of God to flow in you, through you, and onto the people that you come in contact with. So when you put your hand or you shake hands or you look at someone and you say, let me pray for you, and you put your hand on their shoulder, I want you to consciously say, this is my moment, Lord. Use me in accordance with your will. And you hurl that prayer up into heaven and you remember this verse. Be alert always. Keep on praying for all of the saints. Because I don't know about you, but I need it. And the key, of course, is in that relationship that we have with God. God is inviting us to do this so that the church begins to experience the harmony, the commitment, the forgiveness, the kindness, the goodness that we're meant to be in exhibiting from one family to the next, from one man to the other, from a woman to another woman, and all of that drama that we're all capable of inside our heads, inside our hearts, inside our mouths, all that drama is covered and becomes messed in with prayers that finally clean it out. Instead of drama coming out of my mouth, I'm walking forward praying for that person. Every time I see them, rather than react, I say, Lord God, bless them. I'm not sure why they behave like they do. I was driving over to church. I was explaining this to someone in the when we were eating before, and it was a, kind of a smaller car, even smaller than mine. And a pickup truck was running out of lane, and they kind of pulled over a little bit quick and a little bit unnecessary, but they had to get in. And this little car, it just laid on its horn and laid on its horn and laid on its horn and laid on its horn, laid on its horn and laid on its horn over a mile and a half, I think. Steady, continuous horn. All right? When the pickup truck that now pulled in front of me, he started to shoot up trying to pull along next to the pickup truck. The pickup truck tried to move over the next lane. This guy in the little car shot in front of me. And I kept going, is that really where we're at, that we're so volatile that in a little bit of a crunch, and it wasn't that big of a deal, that this is what you're going to do, and it's going to be extended for this length of time. And I began to pray for him. I said, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on in that person's head, but there's something wrong. And that pickup truck came over to the left, made a left-hand turn, and that guy slammed on his brakes in front of me. And I went, oh. And then he goes, waves in the mirror, you know, like, sorry. And I went, do you understand how wicked and how nasty we can become almost without being aware of it? And I'm going, this one is asking us, this particular Ash Wednesday, this Lenten season, please understand what God offers the church, what God offers us as the church, and what he wants to produce in us, the church, is this very thing. Pray regularly for all the saints. Sit there with their names. Sit there and think of their families. Sit there and think of the needs that they may have, and just intercede for one another. God has promised that he'll bless that. And he says that's that first thing he tells us to do after you put your armor on. Put the armor on. And then pray. Pray, pray, pray. I think prayer is identified 5 times in these few verses from there to the end. That's my call this Ash Wednesday. It's going to be my call over Lent. Let's become a people of prayer, of intercessors for one another. Lord, break our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts and help us to grieve and carry with great gentleness the young men and women that are hitting high school and college. Break our hearts, Lord, for the young couples as they struggle with all the unique things they've got, and the other couples and older families, and then those, Lord, who are alone. Break our hearts that we have a covering in this fellowship that just begins to permeate every part of who we are. And then, Lord, refocus our hearts, refocus our minds until we begin to understand that you even want us to be praying for the people we work with and in the middle of the situations of road rage or whatever it might be. But you're calling us to put on the armor so we don't buy into the road rage ourselves, so we don't buy into the drama ourselves, but instead covered by truth and righteousness and all the things that keep us from the lies and deceptions of Satan. We become people of prayer. Lord, turn our hearts toward that. Turn us away from our sin and set us free. We pray that in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.